From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, November 26th. I'm Abby Larico. The Smithsonian is helping African Americans preserve their family history. Black St. Louisans are tracing their roots to help the next generation know their ancestors.
If you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with Black St. Louisans about the importance of preserving family and local history. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A Missouri judge has upheld a 2023 state law barring transgender minors from receiving cross-sex hormones, surgeries, and other gender-affirming care treatments. The ACLU of Missouri, Lambda Legal, and a St. Louis-based law firm last year sued the state, claiming the law discriminates against transgender minors and violates parental rights. The decision follows a 9-day bench trial that ended in early October. Wright County Circuit Court Judge Craig Carter wrote in a decision released Monday, the law does not violate the state's constitution. Carter wrote that the testimony in the case indicated a lack of consensus on whether gender-affirming care for minors was appropriate and safe. Lawyers say they plan to appeal the ruling. The American Academy of Pediatrics and other established medical groups have supported age-appropriate gender-affirming care for minors. School attendance is getting better across the state of Missouri, but it's still not back to pre-pandemic levels. That's one takeaway from a state report on the 2023-2024 school year in Missouri. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
According to new data from the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, about 78% of students were showing up the majority of the time to school. That's in contrast to the 87% of students who were showing up regularly in 2019. Rittner School District Superintendent Chris Kilbride says attendance continues to be a critical challenge.
Our attendance is still a major concern, especially at our secondary level. You know, we know all of the research and data around chronic absenteeism. We have to be able to move the needle on that if we expect all students to be able to learn at high levels.
Nearly one-fourth of students in Missouri missed more than 10% of school last year. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
School leaders from around Illinois are unveiling Vision 2030, a plan to improve learning and student safety and attract high-quality educators in public schools. One of their recommendations is to make standardized testing more useful by providing unofficial results to school districts right after exams end. Jason Leahy is the executive director of the Illinois Principals Association. He says right now students are tested in the spring, but results don't come until later in the fall.
It really impacts the utility of those results and makes it difficult for us to make any real quality decisions about improving our schools and the potential outcomes.
The state recently considered overhauling elementary testing, but paused the effort and says it's not contemplating any changes now. A Missouri law requiring a photo ID to vote will remain in place. Cole County Circuit Judge John Beadham ruled Monday that a lawsuit challenging the photo ID requirement lacks standing. In his ruling, Beadham said the individual plaintiffs did not provide enough sufficient evidence that they are harmed by the law's voter ID provisions. He also said the organizational plaintiffs, which include the Missouri NAACP, quote, have not satisfied the test for organizational standing or harm to their proprietary interests. In a post on X, formerly Twitter, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey said the ruling was a win for election security. Missouri lawmakers passed a wide-ranging elections bill back in 2022. Included in the law was the photo ID requirement. Beadham heard the case challenging the law in November of last year. St. Louis politicians with an eye on elected office were at the city's Board of Elections Monday to submit their paperwork. As St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman reports, mayor, comptroller, and odd ward aldermen will be on the March ballot.
Mayor Tashara Jones and her leading challenger, Kara Spencer, were among those who submitted their paperwork to elections officials. Jones says she's looking forward to defending her record, which includes a decrease in violent crime.
We'll be able to show people exactly where we have improved and also let them know how we're going to improve things in our second term.
Spencer says her message of transparency and fiscal responsibility is resonating with voters.
I'm excited to lead a new chapter in our city's history and in our region's history, really to put us on the path for growth.
Recorder of Deeds Michael Butler has also announced a run for mayor. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Filing for the March 4th primary closes on January 3rd. New vote totals are in for the constitutional amendment to legalize sports betting in Missouri. As Sam Zeff tells us, it still appears a potential amendment to recount is possible.
The latest numbers from the Missouri Secretary of State shows yes winning by about 2,900 votes, 50.05% to 49.94%. That's a difference of about 0.1%. A recount can be requested if the margin is 0.5% or less. According to the Secretary of State, certified vote totals are in from all 114 counties and St. Louis City. The state must certify the election by December 10th, but a spokesman for the office says they hope to have that done by next week. So far, no one has requested a recount. I'm Sam Zeff.
A federal judge wants the local U.S. Attorney's Office to bring charges against the subject of an HBO docuseries called Chimp Crazy. The four-episode show follows Tanya Haddix and her legal troubles owning seven chimpanzees. The former St. Louis nurse, now living in the Ozarks, has been fighting with the animal rights group PETA over her treatment of the primates. U.S. District Court Judge Catherine Perry said in an order Friday that Haddix should face criminal contempt charges in her civil legal battles. Perry said Haddix violated numerous judicial orders and has bragged about it. The federal judge gave the U.S. Attorney's Office for Eastern Missouri until mid-December to bring charges. If the office declines, Perry said the court will find another prosecutor. A spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office said they don't comment on investigations, but that the order speaks for itself. Haddix declined to comment. The tradition of eating turkey on Thanksgiving dates back to the 1800s. But as Harvest Public Media's Elizabeth Rembert reports, some data suggest people are eating less of it.
The 2023 holiday season saw the least amount of turkey sold since 1980. Consumption of whole turkeys was at just over 4 pounds per capita, according to research by Brian Ernest. He's an economist at CoBank, a rural cooperative bank and farm lender. Even with the dip, Ernest says most shoppers are still choosing turkey for their Thanksgiving meal.
I think in general, though, as consumer preferences are changing, we may 10 years from now look back and say, well, there was a shift kind of already occurring with younger population.
Smaller gatherings and a focus on convenience may be driving more people toward things like hams or roasts, Ernest's report suggests. I'm Elizabeth Rembert, Harvest Public Media.
The Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture is helping Black St. Louisans trace their roots as far back as possible. Museum staff were in St. Louis this fall to teach people how to research genealogical archives. They also digitized old family recordings. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, Black St. Louisans want to help the next generation better understand their ancestry.
This is my museum.
The inside of Joyce Houston's Ferguson home is unimaginable.
This is my family tree.
Oh my, I have never seen a family tree this large.
And that's not everybody. This was what I had in a database in 2016.
There's family memorabilia all over her home. As the blues recording artist who goes by the name Lady J walks me down to her basement, I notice posters of her performing on one wall, and on another are the words O'Kelly Family Tree in large print. It's written across the top of white bulletin board paper with at least 1,000 names sprawled on a neon color coated fan-shaped family tree.
So there's Ellen and my great-great-grandfather James, and then she had children, this line with his brother. So the largest line is with James.
Lady J's discovery of her enslaved ancestors is rare. Her mother began collecting artifacts of the O'Kelly family over 50 years ago, and she's passed down the large collection to Lady J. For many Black Americans, tracing their ancestors before 1870 is difficult because the enslaved were listed in the U.S. Census records at the time as property instead of people. Directors from the National Museum of African American History and Culture spent weeks in St. Louis this fall as part of a nationwide community curation initiative to help Black people find their ancestors and preserve local and family history. C.K. Ming is a media conservation and digitization specialist for the museum. Ming says it's important for Black families to have a collective story of their existence.
If you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going.
Ming's white mobile van was parked behind Cartner Ritter High School this fall. Inside her mobile digitization shop, she converted thousands of hours of home videos, audio cassettes, and motion picture films to thumb drives for Black St. Louisans. People brought in videotapes of children's birthday parties, family reunions, and proms from local high schools that no longer exist.
Having things that are joyful, that are vacations, that are us accomplishing things, it's really important for people to see and for families to see.
Besides helping Black people digitize family memories, the museum hosted preservation and research workshops, including one on the Freedmen's Bureau. It's a search portal with over 1 million records of African Americans post-Civil War. St. Louis and Ronald Wilson expressed interest in the Freedmen's Bureau's workshop because he's doing genealogical research on Black Masons in Missouri.
We have had somewhere between 40 and 47 grandmasters who started serving from 1865. But of course, we've had a number of them pass on. Part of what I'm looking for is any information I can find on those men.
Wilson and Lady J also find joy in helping others find invaluable family information. This month, Lady J started a genealogy program to help people learn how to start locating family members. She says she wants to help Black St. Louisans trace their lineage if city officials soon decide to pay out lineage-based reparations.
We're way past due. So having this all documented and you can just, you know, show your proof.
For Black St. Louisans, tracing their family history is a journey, one they hope future generations see as American history. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.